Yeah, well, kicking this week off, a week of continuing reassessment, I think, of what central banks will be doing. And part of that was driven, obviously, by the Reserve Bank here last week. But out of the United States, there wasn't a lot of new information, one or two Fed speakers. But the indication is, you know, they've still got some work to do before they really get to the peak of their rate structure. There wasn't a lot of data that changed that last week. It was a very quiet week for data in the United States. But some of the things that did come through, the initial jobless claims, whilst they lifted a little bit to 196,000 from 183,000 for the previous week, still, you know, way too tight labour market indicated by that over the next month or two. And also we had February Michigan consumer sentiment. This is the first group of replies, counts for about two-thirds of the survey. And it was actually a bit stronger than expected. The market thought it might just lift a touch to 65 on the index from 64.9. It went up to 66.4. That's not, you know, obviously a strong number in itself, but it is a lift from where it's been, and it's been lifting the last couple of months. So an indication that, you know, demand and trying to contain demand is still going to be an issue for the Fed as we go further ahead. This week, they're watching towards the latest CPI result in the United States for the month of January. And at this stage, the market thinks that the CPI rose by 0.4% month on month, and the core CPI rose by 0.4%. If that's the case, the annual headline inflation will come down again to 6.2% from 6.5% in the US, and the core CPI would come down to 5.5 from 5.7. Now, these improvements that we're seeing in the annual rate, a lot of it's a base effect because we had much higher monthly CPI readings going back to the same period last year. This will fade quite noticeably when we get into March and April. So yeah, we are running into a period where the progress getting the annual rate down may stall, may even go into reverse for a period. So yeah, there's this on the horizon that we just need to be wary of as we go a little bit further ahead. And we'll still be lodged at inflation rates, which are way too high as far as the Fed's concerned. We also, also this week, we have a lot of housing data. We've got the February National Association of Home Builders Index. This is pretty soft at the moment. It's running around the 35 mark last month. It's expected maybe it lifts a little bit to 37. We've got housing permits and housing starts. These have been weak for some months. So they're expected to, building permits, if anything, might lift a little by 1%. That's after a string of very, very negative months before. And housing starts, still looking pretty weak there. They're expected to fall another 1.2% after being down 1.4%. We get the early purchasing managers' reports from particular states. So we get the Empire State, New York State, coming out on Wednesday. And the Philadelphia Fed survey coming out on Thursday, both of them deeply in negative territory. So yeah, the Empire State survey is expected to be minus 17.7. That's not as bad as the minus 32.9. That looked like an outlier report from the month before, but still well and truly more pessimists than optimists running through that survey. And the Philadelphia Fed survey was at minus 8.8. That's it, forecast to come in around about minus 7.2. The other key data point this week is really retail sales for the month of January. And if anything, this lifted in the US for the most recent month. So the market's expecting quite a strong result, up 1.6% month on month, with core retail sales up 0.7%. That was after falls of 1.1% for both retail sales and core retail sales the month before. So again, another one of these signs that it's still difficult to get demand completely under control. And when it's under control, you know, you actually need very, very soft demand if central banks are going to get inflation consistently done, and that allows them to declare a proper peak on interest rates. And they're still going to have to hold that peak for quite some time, probably, before they can start to bring that back. Looking at China last week, not a lot of data out of there. We had CPI and PPI data. That's still running pretty softly, even though China's looks as if, with all of the reversals in policy direction, that we might start to see some lift in economic activity. It's still pretty weak in terms of the data that's coming through. So their CPI did lift a little to 2.1% year-on-year from 1.8%, but that's very low by comparison to most other countries internationally. And producer prices in China still got a negative on the front of them. So last month it was minus 0.7% year-on-year. This month I'm looking for that to be round about. Or this month it actually deteriorated to minus 0.8%. I say deteriorated, if anything, that's helpful for perhaps inflation elsewhere internationally to the extent that people deal with China. And of course, that's always an issue where tensions are now quite high between US, probably ourselves, after we've taken out a lot of security cameras around Canberra, that these imports of Chinese goods have started to become a little bit problematic. But that's still leading to some downward pressure running through prices. And coming to Australia, and last week, obviously we had the RBA several times with their quarterly monetary policy statement and also the interest rate decision. We also had a bit of data. Just looking at the data first, we had Q4 retail sales came out. These had a negative sign on the front, and we expected that because we had quite a weak December, but it wasn't that weak. It was down 0.2% in volume terms. That was after being up 0.2% in volume terms going back to Q3. So the market was looking for minus 0.6, so not quite as soft as the market was looking for. And there was some mention of this in some of the RBA commentaries too, where they're saying, well, demand's got to be a lot softer than that to get on top of the inflation problem we've got at the moment. We had the inflation gauge came out for the month of January. That was the Toronto Dominion one, and that was actually quite a strong lift, plus 0.9% month on month after plus 0.2% the month before. So just indicating that inflation is still very much alive and well. And then we had the RBA's decision. And I suppose the surprises in it for the market were, it was no surprise that they did another 25 basis points, so that was widely expected to go up to 3.25%. We were expecting them to perhaps give some indication that there's some topping out in this interest rate process. There was nothing of the sort. In fact, they indicated that more rate hikes would be needed in the months ahead. And the commentary that came out both at the RBA decision and later in the quarterly monetary policy statement was along the lines that you still got very, very high and sticky inflation in the near term. In fact, in the quarterly monetary policy statement, they actually revised up their inflation forecasts for both the middle of 2023 and the end of 2023. If you went back to November, the headline CPI that they were forecasting was that we'd get down to 6.3% by the middle of 2023, then down to 4.7. On the latest forecast, that 6.3 has been replaced with a 6.7, so a bit higher. And December this year, the 4.7 has been replaced by a 4.8. And it's even more pronounced than that when you look at the underlying inflation rate, where the middle of the year they were looking at 5.4% and now looking at 6.2% for the middle of the year. And for the end of the year, they were looking at 3.8 and they're looking at 4.3. Now, that's worrying because it means that over the whole of this year, they think that inflation is stickier and higher than they previously forecast. And where's it coming from? Well, clearly they are worried about the labour market because they've actually revised up their wage price index forecasts. And middle of this year, back in November, they were looking at 3.7% year-on-year for wage growth. They're now looking at 4.1 for the middle of this year. And at the end of the year, 3.9, now looking at 4.2. And that's the tight labour market. And in their commentary, it's along the lines, yes, we can see that inflation, two-thirds of it was caused by supply chain problems. Some of those are resolving, so that's actually pulling inflation down. But demand played a significant part, and it's still too strong. We recognise that parts of the Australian economy are starting to suffer under the impact of previous interest rates, but you know, we still have more work to do. And so on the basis of that, I think it's now realistic to expect at least two more rate hikes. My forecast now will have to go up to 3.85% for the cash rate peak, and it could end up being higher than that. It depends on how these numbers pan out, and what they're really looking at is the labour market, wage price index, demand factors. They want weaker demand. They need to see weaker demand, because the other point they made very clearly in this statement was, if we don't do something about this now, we'll be facing a much harder problem to deal with down the track. In other words, they're trying to avoid a much more difficult inflation problem if it becomes entrenched. And what they're worried about there is that inflation expectations get out of control. They're not out of control at the moment, but the worry is they may if inflation keeps staying high. And the other part about it is not a wage-price spiral, but a price-wage spiral. So it puts it around the other way. And what it suggests is that the price pressure we've got with a tight labour market can feed through. In their forecasts, even to get inflation down to the top of their target range by June 2025, that's the furthest their forecasts go out, they need the unemployment rate, and so the unemployment rate forecast that goes with that, to get up to 4.4% on their latest forecasts. So you know, they are in the business of trying to get the unemployment rate up. Remember, the unemployment rate currently is at 3.5%. So that's the sort of things we should be watching to see whether this is going to change at all. It's whether the things move a bit quicker than they think in terms of getting demand under control. And that's going to take a fair bit of data. But in the very near term, they're still on this trajectory of pushing interest rates higher. So we should expect that. I think the market's reacting to that and is starting to build in somewhat higher interest rates. And the other part of it is that those interest rates actually have quite a sticky top on them. They stay there for a bit longer. This week, we'll get some data, which is important for this. We get a fair number of sentiment indicators, NAB business conditions and business confidence, be watching those. And Westpac consumer sentiment, interestingly, Westpac consumer sentiment has actually lifted the past 2 months, so that's not actually helpful as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. And then we get labour force data coming out on Thursday. And, I mentioned, they need over the next couple of years that unemployment rate to go up. And at this stage, the forecast for this month is still very tight for the labour market. The market's looking for a 20,000 increase in employment, participation rate staying at 66.6%, very high. And as a result of that, the unemployment rate stays down at a 48-year low, still at 3.5%, the same as it was the month before. The other number which will go with this in a week's time is the wage price index. So I'll be watching that one very carefully too, because obviously that's a large part of what the Reserve Bank's talking about at the moment too. Moving to Europe, and last week we had Centix investor confidence. Europe's sort of, anything's going a touch better than expected. So Centix investor confidence improved. When I say improved, it went from -17.5 to -8. But that -8 was quite a bit better than the market expected. Having said that, December retail sales came out as well. They were quite soft. They were expected to be. They fell by 2.7% after a 1.2% increase the month before. This week in Europe, we haven't got a great deal. We've got revision to Q4 GDP. Q4 GDP had a positive sign on the front of it in the advance reading. It was plus 0.1% quarter on quarter. That, if anything, was a surprise because Europe was supposed to be in a recession by now. And don't expect to see too much of a revision to that. But through the course of this week, it's that reassessment that's running through markets. And what that implies is markets working towards higher tops for some of these cash rates, here in particular, over the course of the near term. That in turn means that rather than bond yields reflecting potential for recession down the track, they still have to have an eye towards where the peak's going to be for the interest rate structure in the near term. So particularly shorter term dated bond yields still have a little bit of work to do to go towards a new realistic peak on what the Reserve Bank's currently saying. We will hear more from the Reserve Bank this Friday too, because Governor Phil Lowe will be before the Parliamentary Economic Committee on Friday. So there'll be a fair bit of talk in that, where he'll be quizzed about these factors. And he is obviously at odds with what, you know, the government would like to see happening for the time being, that they don't want any indication of harder times ahead, even if that does mean that you can do better and easier down the track. They would rather see anything but that. So it is going to be pretty, pretty testy between the government and the Reserve Bank in the very near term. But if anything, I think markets will be struggling a little bit through the course of this week as we still adjust to this change in interest rate environment.